Good evening. We're now continuing in our journey of Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and I believe we are. Where are we?
At the top of the
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So exactly. So the Mishnah says that you're not supposed to fix the shofar and cut it with any tool, not a tool of a rabbinic prohibition, not a tool of a biblical prohibition. So now the Gemara is going to analyze that, which will also give us a bit of a brief summary of what we just saw in the previous few lines. So the Gemara says, "Ve'en chotchinoto." So that's a quote from the Mishnah, right? "Ve'en chotchinoto ben bedavar shu mishum shivot." So we don't cut the shofar, whether it's a tool that's prohibited from a rabbinic prohibition of shvot, rest, refrain from malacha. Uven b'davar shu mishum lo taaseh, and whether it's or it's a tool that you're not allowed to use from the raita. So now the Gemara says mishum shvot. So what kind of tool is only forbidden midirabanan? Magla. So magla is a magal. In Aramaic, you just take the take off the aleph in the end. So magal is that round tool with which you sickle, with which you harvest the wheat, you know. Okay, so sickle. So that one, because you don't usually fix your farot with this tool, then it's davash and darko bekach. If that's not the usual thing you'll do with this tool, then it's not a deraita melacha because it's not the appropriate way of doing it. Sort of a shinui. And the lota say sakina, so the tool that you're not allowed to use midoraita is a proper knife that you would usually use to cut a shofar. Now the Gemara is asking a similar question to what it asked just before. It says hashta mishum shivot amart lo, so lota say mibaya. Look, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do a rabbinic prohibition, and you're not allowed to do a deraita prohibition. So I said, if you're not allowed to do a rabbinic prohibition, how much more so you're not allowed to do? So it's needless. It's like you don't need to tell us that you don't have that you cannot do an isul deraita. So why does the Mishnah have to tell us this? And then the Gemara is answering, yeah, you're right, but the Mishnah was speaking in a very unique fashion that it sometimes uses zo ve'entzach lomar zoktare. Sometimes the Mishnah says, yeah, you know, and you're not allowed to use a sickle, and all the more so. And needless to say, of course, that you're not allowed to use a knife to cut the shofar. Okay. Now the next section of the Mishnah is aval im ratza liten letocho mayim oyayin iten. So you're not allowed to fix the shofar. You're not allowed to remove mukta or do any melacha deraita or derabanan to get the shofar. However, if you want to sort of smoothen its voice with water or wine that you'll pour inside it, then it's okay. So the Gemara says, "Maim o yain in." So you can do it with water or wine. That's fine. Ken in. Mei raglaim lo. So mei raglaim, not. The basic explanation of mei raglaim is urine, I guess. Nachon?
Yeah.
However, interestingly enough, bepitum aktoret, we're talking about also mei raglaim. Mei raglaim nefin la shem nevin mei raglaim la mikdash pnei kavod. And our Rosh Yeshiva once explained to us that there's some of the commentators say that no one even entertained the possibility of actually using urine for anything religious. So whether it's the ktoret of beis hamikdash or the shofar. Here we're talking about something else. But I think with the shofar, it's probably just talking about urine. With the ktoret, he says that there is water, there's a spring called En Rogel, and the water from that spring are not to be used, even though it's spring water, because the name of it sounds like Mei Raglaim, which has a very negative connotation, and because of the kavod of the Mekdash, we're not allowed to use it. But here it's probably urine, and you're not supposed to use it. And you're not supposed to use urine to clean the shofar to fix it. Now the Gemara says, "Matnitin mani." So who's the opinion behind this Mishnah? Abba Shauli. It's a Mishnah according to the opinion of Abba Shaul. The Tanya, Abba Shaul Omer, Mayim Oyayin Mutar Kedei Letachsecho. There's the Brash that says, Abba Shaul says, you can use water or yain letachsecho to smoothen its voice, to sort of clean it. Mei Raglaim Asur Mipnei Kavod. You're not allowed to use urine, you know, even if even though urine might be more effective detergent or whatever it is, because of the kavod, it's just disrespectful to the mitzvah. Okay. The Mishnah says, "Ein me'akvin et hatinokot melitkoa." So again, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. We've already fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar, so we don't need specifically to touch the shofar or use it. There's no need. We don't need to blow the shofar for anyone else. Everyone's already fulfilled the mitzvah. So now the Mishnah says, though you don't prevent the young kids, the minors, to actually blow the shofar. If they do, you don't need to take it away from them to tell them off. In me'akvin et hatinokot militkoa, says the Mishnah. The Gemara says, the Gemara deduces from that, hanashin, nashim me'akvim. So, you don't tell the children off if they blow the shofar. But the women, we should. Well, I mean, they shouldn't. And if they do play with the shofar and try to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we should tell them off. And the reason is, even though children are not obligated to the mitzvah, it still will be relevant for them when they grow up. But women are completely exempt. So for them, there's no reason touching the shofar in a Yom Tov. And also, the Rashi explained that there's a concern of Baal Tosif. I mean, if they will blow, if they're exempt, and they will blow the shofar, it might be a problem of Baal Tosif, of adding mitzvot, which we shouldn't. So it looks like, again, the Gemara deduces from the Mishnah that we should not let women play and blow the shofar. Oh, the Gemara says, so, Hanashim Akvim, so you're going to tell me that you should not allow the women to blow it. Vatanya, the writer says, Ein Akvim, lo Hanashim, lo Tinokot, Militka B'yam Tov. Look, whether it's women who are completely exempt or children who are just not obligated yet, we don't tell them off. We let them blow the shofar on a Yom Tov, even if there's no specific mitzvah that they're doing right now. So decide. So which one is it? Do we let them blow or do we not? Amar Abaye lo kashya. It's not a kushya. Not a problem. There's no contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon. One of them is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah, our Mishnah, that implies that women should not be blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah after everyone has fulfilled the mitzvah. It's Rabbi Yehuda. And the Baraisa that says that we don't tell them off is Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. As the writer says, the Tanya, Daber el Bnei Israel. So there's a pasuk just talking, it's a pasuk right before the parasha of Smicha, leaning on the korban, the animal of the korban with both hands, right? Moving your, leaning your body weight over the animal. It's a mitzvah of on the korban. And it says, Daber el Bnei Israel. And we have a tradition of Chazal, Bnei Israel somchin, ve'en bnot Israel somchot, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So it's only the males of Am Israel that has to do this, that are commanded to do the smicha, to lean on their korban, and not the. It's only the men, not the women. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, they should not lean on their korbanot. Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon omrim, nashim somchot reshut. He says, look, indeed they're not obligated, but they're definitely allowed to do that. So that's the machloket, and these are the two opinions in the Mishnah that seems to infer that the women should not blow the shofar, play with the shofar on the Yom Tov. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the opinion says, it's not a problem. If they do, fine, let them do it. It's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, that says, you know, they're not obligated, but it's still a reshut. This whole sugya is touching slightly upon the whole discussion of whether they're obligated with mitzvah tashitas mangama. Are they allowed to say the bracha? You probably you may know that it's a big machloket between Shulchan Aruch and Chama, Rabbi Nutam and others. We're not going to discuss it now. Bechol mikre, let's move on to the next section of the Mishnah. Aval mitaskim b'yamat she'ilmedu. So we could, you know, talk to them and sort of guide them. For them to learn how to use and blow the shofar, right, with the kids. Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu b'Shabbat. So even on Shabbat, you're allowed to talk to them and sort of tell them how to use the shofar. Now, you know that in Shabbat, it's muktzeh for everybody. No one blows the shofar on Shabbat. And even on Shabbat, if the kids play with it, you don't have to tell them off. You can even guide them and help them learn how to do it properly. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Yachid is a brisa that supports that halacha. Mitaskin b'emat shilmedu afilu b'shabbat, ve'in me'akvin hatinokot militkoa b'shabbat. I think there's maybe another version here. 1 second. Yeah, okay. So the brisa says, there's a comment of the Gra that the words, that, let's read it without the words, b'shabbat v'entzach lomah. So it says, yeah, you do talk to them and guide them and help them and teach them even on Shabbat, and you don't tell them off, the children off, from blowing the shofar. B'yom tov. Now, again, so now the Gemara is discussing the whole phrasing of that halacha. The Gemara says, ha gufa kashya. Okay, so there's an inner contradiction in that statement. Amart mitaskin b'em ad shilmedu. So the first half says you could talk to them and help them and guide them and teach them, right? And then you say, 1 second, and then you also say that you don't tell them off. So that's a contradiction, as the Gemara is explaining right now. Amart mitaskin b'em ad shilmedu b'afulu b'shabbat. So you did mention that you talk to them and teach them until they learn to blow the shofar properly. So meaning, you can actually tell them, do this, do that, blow it this way, blow it that way. So you're allowed to tell them, lechatchila, blow the shofar. And then you say also, v'adar tana, ein me'akvim. So you don't tell them off. You just don't have to tell them off, but you definitely should not encourage them. So ikuvo delo me'akvim. The only thing you can't do, you don't have to do, is to tell them off, to stop them. Halechatchila lo amrin antiku. On the other hand, you're not supposed to encourage them lechatchila and just tell them, yeah, you should. So, right? This is the fashion of the Gemara in many, many occasions, that there's two halachot, and the diuk, implication. Each part would imply things that would contradict each other, okay? So each section of the Mishnah would imply something that will contradict what the other part implies. So here, so again, should we tell them lechatchila? Are we allowed to tell them lechatchila or not? That's the contradiction. The Gemara says, lo kashya, kan bekatan shehegia lechinuch, kan bekatan shelo hegia lechinuch. So katan shegia lechinuch, if it's a minor that's already at the age of that we could educate him for a shofar, then we should teach them and guide them, and of course we should tell them lechatchila to blow the shofar, and all the more so we do not have to tell them off. So the first part of the Braita and also the Mishnah that says that you should teach them and guide them, that you can tell them lechatchila, that's talking about minors that are already in the age of education. And then the other section that says you only don't have to tell them off, you don't have to encourage them lechatchila. Just if they do play with it already, don't tell them off. That's talking about minors, you know, under the age of chinuch, and you should not encourage them lechatchila to play with the shofar. Okay, so it's not talking, again, it's talking about two different ktanim, two different tov. V'amit asek lo yatsa. So the Mishnah says, amit asek lo yatsa, and again, what's amit asek? One who accidentally blows the shofar. Whether he was just playing with it and trying to, you know, blow air into this, whether he was trying to clean it or make other sounds of the shofar, and accidentally it was a kosher sound. So lo yatsa, amit asek lo yatsa, because he did not actually mean to blow. Okay? And so the Gemara says, there's a few words missing. Mit asek u delo. Only if mit asek, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. Hatokea lashir yatsa. So it would imply that the one who's accidentally blowing it, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. However, tokea lashir, if he's, what's tokea lashir? One who's blowing the shofar to make the sound of the shofar, to like a proper blowing of the shofar, but only for the musical aspect of it. He was not trying to fulfill the mitzvah. Okay? But he was trying to make the sound. That's the difference between the two. So he says, the Mishnah says, only the one who accidentally made the sound, he did not fulfill. But one who is making it intentionally, just not for the mitzvah, just for the music, maybe he would fulfill the mitzvah. That's what it implies. right? Otherwise, because if the one who's blowing lashir for the music, it doesn't fulfill, then the Mishnah could even teach us a greater chiddush, like a greater novelty, that even that's not enough, right? So it looks like it will be good. And the Gemara says, Lema Messiah Lele Rava. So shall we say this will support Rava? De Amar Rava, the Rava said, Hatokea Lashir Yatza, one who's blowing the shofar for the music of it, fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara says, nah, this Mishnah does not support Rava. Dilma Tokea Lashir Nama Mitase Karele. So maybe the Mishnah said, maybe our Mishnah said that even one who is blowing Lashir is also considered or falls under the category of Mitasek. Okay? And And therefore, you cannot prove anything to support Rava. So still, and by the way, the halacha is Tokea Lashir Loyatza. It has to be for the sake of the mitzvah. Now, the Mishnah goes on and says, "Vashomeh mina mitasek lo yatza." So if you hear the sound of the shofar blown by mitasek, someone who accidentally blown the shofar, lo yatza. So the Gemara says, this would imply that only if you hear it from the mitasek, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. But if you hear it from someone who is trying to fulfill the mitzvah for himself, alone, again, then that would be good, and you would fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, let's read in the Gemara. So, shomea mina mitasek leatzav, you hear it from the one who's mitasek, you didn't fulfill. Aval shomea mina mashmia leatzmo, but if you hear it from someone who blew for himself to do the mitzvah, mai yatza, oh, lichora yatza, so you could say that he did fulfill the mitzvah. Now, so be it. The Gemara says it could be a problem. So if that's the case, that would be a major problem for Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said to his servant, "Ichaven utkali dilma." So he told his servant, "Ichaven utkali." So when you blow the shofar, I want you to have me in mind as well. So this servant, like this assistant, he was Jewish, and he could actually do the blowing. He could blow the shofar for Rabbi Zera's behalf. Rabbi Zera said, "I want you to have me in mind when you blow the shofar that you're blowing it for me as well." So you see that Rabbi Zera understood that if the assistant would only blow the shofar for himself to do the mitzvah, Rabbi Zera would not fulfill the mitzvah by hearing that. Okay, so if you read our Mishnah in a way that hearing from someone who blew for himself would be good, then we have a problem. Now the Gemara wants to reconcile and says, Dilma ayd de tana resha mitasek, tana seif anama mitasek. So the truth is, says the Gemara, indeed, our Mishnah could, you know, maybe our Mishnah really thinks, like Rabbi Zera, that if you hear from someone who blew only for himself, did not have in mind you, then you would not fulfill the mitzvah. So why then does the Mishnah say only the one who's shomea, you hear it from the mitasek, did not fulfill? The Mishnah should have said, you know, not only the mitasek, even if you hear from someone who didn't have you in mind, who actually did the mitzvah for himself but not for you, that also you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? So the Gemara will say, the Taina Resha, so since the Tana began the sentence with the word mitasek, so he finished the sentence with the same word. But indeed, the Tana could say that if he hears it from someone who's only doing it for himself, he'd not for the mitzvah, because that's what the Tana thinks. Okay. So to conclude, one who's blowing the shofar for the musical aspect is not for the mitzvah, and definitely if one is mitasek doing it accidentally, and one who's hearing it from someone who even doing it for the mitzvah, but not to do it on other people's behalf, then the other people would not fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, moving on to the next Mishnah. Seder Tkiot. So the order of the Tkiot. Shalosh, Shel, Shalosh, Shalosh. So three sets, one for Malchuyot, one for Zichronot, one for Shofarot. Shel, Shalosh, Shalosh. Each one of the sets consists of three sounds, which means Tkia, Tru'ah, and Tkia. This is
I don't want to say too complicated, but this is a bit of a complicated sugya, so we're not going to do all the process. Just want to see at least the Gemara aspect of it. Not going to go through the whole process. How did it get from the Gemara all the way to the halacha lemaaseh that we know today? At least the Mishnah says, so again, tkia, trua, and tkia, on a biblical level. Shi'ur tkia, the length or the size of a tkia, kishalosh truot. It's parallel to three truot, three times trua. We're going to discuss this in the Gemara very soon. Shi'ur trua, the length or the size of a trua, kishalosh yebavot, is parallel to three yebavot, three little sounds. Okay? By the way, again, it's not exactly what the Mishnah means, but at the first instance, one could argue that what it means is that the tkia is the size of three shvarim, that the truot here would refer to shvarim, and each shever of the shvarim is parallel in size and length to the length of three, like, sounds of little sounds of trua. Again, which would make sense. Not necessarily this is what the Mishnah means. Let's move on. Taka barishona umashach bashnia keshtayim en biyado elachatz. Like we said, every set consists of three sounds. Tkia in the beginning, two, and then trua, which is whether it's shvarim trua, and then another tkia in the end. And for the next set, it will be another tkia. So it's, let's say, if you connect two sets, it's like tkia, and then trua, and then tkia, tkia and trua, right? Because the last one of the first set and the first one of the next set is tkia. So it's two consecutive tkiot. So what if one, for the last tkia of the set, he made a very long tkia? That's twice the length of a regular tkia. Could we say then that it would count as two tkiot, as the last one of the first set and the first one of the second set? The Mishnah says, Taka barishona. So the first kia he did, but in the second kia he actually did it longer, like two tkiot, and biado elachat. Only one of them counts. So it only counts for the last one of the first set, and he's going to have to blow another tkia as the first kia of the next set. Misha berach, another halacha. Misha berach, v'achakach nitmana lo shofar, tokea. So if anyone did the Chazarat HaShatz and he said the Bracha of Malchuyot, Zichronot v'Shafarot, and he didn't blow the Shofar because he didn't have one. And afterwards, after he finished the Chazarat HaShatz, oh, finally somebody found the Shofar and brought it to Shul. What will you do then? The Mishnah says, Tokeo Merev Tokeo Shalosh Pamim. So you should do the whole set. Tkiat Ruat Kiat, Tkiat Ruat Kiat, Tkiat Ruat Kiat, even without the brachot, because you still need to hear all the sounds, regardless of whether it's, you know, by the order of the brachot or not. Okay? Keshem sheshliach tzibur chayav, kach kol yachid v'yachid chayav, just like every shliach tzibur has to say the tefillah, just like so, kol every individual of the tzibur has to say the tefillah, the words of the tefillah. In other words, don't rely on the chazan to be moitzi you yedei chova. He's only there for the people who can't daven by themselves. However, Rabban Gamliel omer, Shliach tzibur motzi et harabim yedei chovatan. He could lechatchila daven another people's behalf and they won't have to daven themselves. Okay, that's a little bit of a machloka here. The Gemara says, now, regarding the first section, regarding the second section of the Mishnah, Shiur tkia keshalosh truot. So the length of a tkia is parallel to three truot. So the Gemara says, really? The Hatanya, the writer says something else. Shiur tkia ki trua. So the length of a tkia is parallel to one trua, not to three truot. It looks like a machloket. Amar Abaye, not a problem. Tana didan kachashiv tkia de kul hubave utruot de kul hubave. Tana bara kachashiv chad bava vetulo. So our Tana didan is actually counting, or is referring to all the tkiot of all the bave. In other words, three tkiot are parallel to three truot. Okay? So even though he only said one tkia is parallel to three truot, what he meant is all the tkia, which is three tkiot, he only is counting the first one of each set, apparently. So three tkiot equals three truot.
And the Tana Bara, the Tana of the outside, the external, which means the Braita, he says, one Tkia equals one Trua. So they're basically saying the same thing. Tana of the Mishnah says 3x equals 3y, and the Tana of the Braita says x equals y. So it's basically the same. Okay, so now we got away with it without having to say there is a machloket. However, it's not going to work so good, so well in the next section. The Gemara says, the Mishnah said, Shi'ur tru'a keshalosh shebavot. So what's the size of the length of a tru'a? So the Mishnah says, keshalosh shebavot, like three yebavot. Yebavot is seemingly a very short sound. And that's the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, really? V'hatanya, the Braita says otherwise, shiur trua kishlosha shvarim. The size and length of a trua is would parallel to three shvarim, which are longer than a yevavot. So which one is it? Is that like three shvarim or like three yevavot? Amar Abaye, behavadai pligi. Look, here there's no way out of the machloket. You have to say there is a machloket. And what's the source of the machloket? Dechtiv, yom trua yihye lachem. So the Torah says that in Rosh Hashanah there should be a Yom Teruah, a day of sound of blowing of the shofar. It should be for you. And the Targum in Aramaic, Yom Yebava Yehelechon, a day of Yevava, it should be for you. What's a Yevava? So in Hebrew it's like a cry. Now the word Yevava appears somewhere else in the Bible. Uchtiv Beimedes Yisra. Regarding the mother of Sisra, the general who was killed by Yael, Ba'ada Chalon Nishkefa Vatiabev Em Sisra. So she was actually watching and expecting her son to come back from the war with all the trophy and the loot. And so his mother, you know, was seen by the wind through the window, Vatiabev, and she was crying. She would do the Evava. Okay, so she would cry out of sadness. Mar Savar, so one of them said, which is the so one opinion says the Evava is Genuche Ganach. When one is crying, it's like a bit of a long sounds, like the sick people who are like like it's a bit long. Mar Savar Yeluli Alil, a bit of a more vibrating voice, short, shattered sound, like the of the Torah that we know today. So Mar Savar Genuch Ganach, it's Gnichot, it's like not sure what the English word for it. Mar Savar Yelulei, excuse me.
It says
moaning. Moaning, yeah, sounds fine. Mar Savar Yelulei Alil, which are shorter sounds. And so the Tana of the Mishnah understands that the sounds are short sounds of Yevavot, and the Tana of the Braita understands it's actually the longer sounds of three shvarim. And indeed, there is a machloket. Now, the Torah says Yom Teruah Yelachem should be a day of blowing the sound of shofar, but it doesn't actually say the word shofar. So how do we know that we're supposed to generate that sound through a shofar? That this is the right instrument. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braita says, Minayin Sheba Shofar. How do we know it's actually a shofar that we should be blowing? Talmud Lomar, Ve'avarta, as the Pasuk says, Ve'avarta Shofar Teruah. So now we're talking about a Yovel. Regarding the Yovel, which we once upon a time discussed on this whiteboard, I think, Ve'avarta Shofar Teruah, we should blow the shofar and the Yom Keeper of the Yovel. Enli, so, and then it says Teruah, and it's explicitly saying it's shofar. Enli ela beyovel. So this only teaches us regarding the Yovel. How do we know the same rules would apply in Rosh Hashanah? But Rosh Hashanah minayin. Talmud lomar, the Gemara says, b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, she'en lomar. So the words, the pasuk says, b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, an extra time. The pasuk says, b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, and then the Gemara says, she'en talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. Right? It didn't have to say b'chodesh ha-shevi'i because it's already mentioned it before. Uma talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, why did it mention it again? To teach us in a fashion of binyan av, to teach us that every tkiya sheyu kol truot shel chodesh shevi'i ze keze, that all the sounds of blowing of the shofar in the seventh month, which is the Tishrei, would be similar, would have the same principles. Okay,
So that's how we know that the instrument required is the shofar. Uminayin shepshuta lefaneh, and from where do we learn that it has to be? So now we've only been talking about the truah, which is the sound that's in the middle of the set, truah, and it's by the shofar. Now, how do we know that there needs to be a tkiah, like a simple, continuous tkiah, toot, before that, before the truah? Okay, uminayin shepshuta. Pshuta is like a continuous sound. Minayin shepshuta lefaneh, before the truah. Talmud lomar, v'ha'avarta shofar teruah. So the word v'ha'avarta is like you should pass. And the word pass in Hebrew would also infer like a continuous sound. Okay? So the word v'ha'avarta appears before the word teruah. V'ha'avarta shofar teruah. So the avarta implies a tkiah. And only after that comes the teruah. Okay, so that's where we learn it. How do we know that there is a pshuta, meaning a tkia, after the trua? Talmud lomar, ta'aviru shofar. The pasuk says afterwards, ta'aviru shofar. Ve'avarta shofar trua b'chol shvi'i, ta'aviru shofar b'chol artzichem. Okay, so before the trua it says ve'avarta, and after the trua it says ta'aviru shofar, which meaning another tkia, and there we have tkia, trua, and then a tkia. That's the set of three. That's the basic set of three. Ve'ein li ela bayovel. Once again, we're only talking about the yovel. Berosh Hashanah minayin. How do we know that same word will apply in Rosh Hashanah? Talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. As again, there's an extra b'chodesh ha-shevi'i in the pasuk. She'ein talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, because it's written so many times there. We know we're talking about the chodesh ha-shevi'i. Uma talmud lomar b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. Why does the Torah mention that again? She'yu, to teach us, she'yu kol truot chodesh ha-shevi'i zekizet. To teach us that all the truot of the seventh month of Tishrei need to be similar. And just like in the Yovel, that has to be tkiah truot tkiah, just like so in Rosh Hashanah, it should be the same. Uminayin leshalosh shel shalosh shalosh. What do we say regarding time? Should be, yeah? Just a couple more lines. Uminayin leshalosh shel shalosh shalosh. Talmud lomar, so how do we know that there has to be three sets of three? So this every set consists of three that we now know. Tkiah, Truah, and Tkiah. So that we know. But how do we know that there's three sets of the such? Uminayin leshalosh shel shalosh shalosh, which is the wording of the Mishnah. Talmud lomar, ha, this is interesting. Ve'avarta shofar teruah. So this pasuk is talking about the Yovel, right? Ve'avarta shofar teruah. That's one. Shabbaton zichron teruah. That's two. But this one is talking about Rosh Hashanah already. And then Yom Teruah Yelachem, another one, that's three. Three Truot, okay? And before each Truah, there should be a Tkiah before and after. So three Truot, and so three, that meaning three sets. Each one is one Truah, okay? So we have three sets. The Gemara says, wait a minute. The first one is talking about the Yovel, the second one talking about Rosh Hashanah. How do you know that they're all connected, that they all count together? To three, to a total of three, both in Rosh Hashanah and in the Yovel. Uminayin liten et ha'amur shel ze baze veshel ze baze. How do we know that we should, you know, take what's written regarding Yovel and place it in Rosh Hashanah and vice versa? Talmud lomar shvi'i shvi'i ligzera shava. So the chodesh shvi'i, b'chodesh shvi'i, the word shvi'i appears again twice or, you know, two extra times. That would teach us gzera shava, that they're all mixed together. They, you know, whatever all the rules of Yovel would apply in Rosh Hashanah, and vice versa. Okay, hakeitzad, how so? Shalosh shehen tesha. Okay, tzeder, shalosh shehen tesha shiur. So three sets that are nine, because each one of them consists of three. Shiur of tkiah, 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 shiur tkiah ketruah. So the length of a tkiah is like the length of a truah. Shiur truah ki shlosha shvarim, which is the let's say the measures that we know today. So a tkiah is parallel to a truah, and a truah is parallel to a three shvarim. Okay, which basically they all have the same length. Tkiah, three shvarim, or nine yevavot of truah. Okay. Now the Gemara says, maybe with this we'll finish. Hi Tana. So wait a minute. The Tana in the beginning said that Bachodesh Hashvi is the style of Binyan Av type of Limud. An extra time of Chodesh Hashvi to teach us that all the Chodesh Hashvi Truot should be together, should be the same, should be similar. And then in the end it says Shvi Shvi to Gzeira Shava. It's a different channel of Limud. So Hai Tana, the Tanya of this Braita, Meikara Maitela Behekesha. First of all, he learned it in a Hekesh. Hekesh, some sort of a comparison. The Shvi, Vahashta, and then in towards the end, Maitela Begzera Shava. He was actually deriving this halacha through a Gzera Shava. And Gzera Shava is a type of limud that you could only use if you actually received tradition from your rabbi that there is a Gzera Shava with these two psukim. Okay? So, why is this Tana first learning it as a Hekesh and as a sort of Hekesh comparison, and then later on as a Gzera Shava? So again, so Gzera Shava is like when two similar words appear in the Torah, and then we say, this is a hyperlink, and there's a highway, and Halachot could pass from one side to the other end. So is it a Hekesh or a Gzera Shava? The Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, Ilav Gzera Shava, Hava Maitina la Behekesha. Haita Data Gzera Shava, Hekesha lo Tsarich. Okay? And so, in other words, that the Tana meant to say that, you know, the truth is, even if there was no Gzera Shava, because Gzera Shava you cannot make up just by yourself. Yeah, you have to learn it, you have to have learned it from your rabbi. So, even if there wasn't a Gzera Shava, I could still have compared the two through a Hekesh. But now that I learned Gzera Shava from my rabbi, I don't need it because I already have the Gzera Shava to compare Rosh Hashanah to the Yovel, and therefore this is how we learn the basic sets that we have three times Truah, which means three Truot in Rosh Hashanah. Before and after each one of them, there has to be a Tkiah. So each Truah is a set of three, Tkiah, Truah, Tkiah, and we have three of those, that's nine. This is how we got to the 100 sets, you probably know that. So we don't know, we just in essence, it's Tkiah, Truah, Tkiah, but what's the Truah? So maybe it's Shvarim. So we have Tkiah, Shvarim, Truah, three times, okay? And then maybe the Truah is actually Truah. So we have Tkiah, Truah, Tkiah, three times. And then maybe the Truah is a combination of both Shvarim and Truah. So we have Tashrat, again, three times. And because we're not sure, we're doing all of them, and that's how we got to the 30 sounds, double that, three times that, we got to the 90s or whatever. So, and then another 10, another set of 10. But each set is 10 sounds. Okay? Shkoich.
Yeah. Thank you, Rabbi. Yeah.